Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 5 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 12, 8 through 15. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast and you're interested in helping with production cost, we have a Patreon page where you can join in. Links are in the description and in the show notes. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts. Touch us with the knowledge of you today. We want to know you more through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges 12, starting in verse 8. After him, and that is Jephthah, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan, and for his sons he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. This is this whole passage we're reading today. This is the lesser judges, three of the lesser judges, and again, it's interesting for me because when I read this, I'm like, I'd rather be one of the lesser judges than not named at all. And I think it's pretty cool that they're in here. One of the things that I think about this, though, when I see, we've already seen, you know, there's a guy that had 30 sons and they rode on 30 donkeys. And now we're seeing here that Ibzan had 30 sons. Ibzan, had these 30 sons and 30 daughters. And he gave the daughters away in marriage because his sons had married people outside of his clan. up to this point, they were generally marrying people within their clan, the Israelites were. And so the fact that he gave all 30 of his daughters away because all 30 of his sons had married women outside of their clan almost smacks of the kind of intermarriage that would go on for kings. Right. If you wanted to kind of establish yourself as a ruler over a group of people, then you bring peace, especially back in this day, by having your children marry other people's children. And then you're less likely to go to war. Right. I mean, you're not going to go burn down someone else's village when it's filled with your grandchildren. You know, so that's kind of a natural way at this point in history to bring about peace. And so it almost seems like maybe Ibzan is trying to set himself up to be future king of Israel, or maybe Ibzan is looking at what's happened recently with Jephthah and the Ephraimites and seeing like how fractured and splintered Israel is becoming. And maybe this, because it doesn't tell us which clans, which tribes, which people that Ibzan's children married into and where his daughters went to. So it might be that he, you know, had people marry from all over to try and restabilize the nation of Israel. I mean, we can see that this is the situation had become very tenuous under Jephthah. And so maybe this is his attempt to try and bring some sanity back to all of that. All right, continue on verse 11. After him, Elon the Zebulunite led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. This is the part of the passage here where it seems like when he's writing, you know, we've already had again a guy who rode on 30 sons, rode on 30 donkeys. Now he's got 40 sons and 30 grandsons on 70 donkeys. And what it seems to be saying here is that there is a consolidation of power under Abdon. Abdon has considerable power and rulership over Israel. And this idea of them riding on the donkeys, I mean, it's not like they were the only people with donkeys at that point, but there's definitely this notion that Abdon is supplying the donkeys for his family so that everyone in Israel knows that, hey, he's the guy in charge and his sons and grandsons, they're kind of coming up, you know, in his wake here. They're going to be leading Israel next. And this is very common. We're going to see, it's not clear if this was necessarily common at the beginning of the judges. It probably was. It probably was that the sons and grandsons and whoever else were the natural next leaders. But for sure, by the end of the book of Judges, this is becoming more and more common. And again, it can be difficult to comment on you know, culture, especially ancient culture, because it can be difficult to understand and actually know what's going on. So we see a little bit of the evolution of this culture that's happening in the book of Judges. And so by the end of it here, we're seeing that, yes, there's almost a little bit more. They're not kings, but there's a little bit more of this idea of a dynasty starting to take place, so much so that when Samuel becomes judge over all Israel, in the book of Samuel, we find out he's the last judge of Israel before Saul is named king. And the reason that the Israelites give for rejecting Samuel, and it was partially true, but it wasn't the real reason why they rejected Samuel and why they wanted a king. But the reason that they gave was that Samuel had taken his sons and set them up as judges kind of in his place or to help him with the judging of Israel. And they were kind of crooked and the people didn't like them. And they come to Samuel, who they know is righteous, and they say, your sons are bad and we don't like them. And so give us a king so we don't have to deal with this nonsense anymore. And it might be this nonsense that they're talking about, the thing about for generations now, when the Lord does raise up a judge, the power goes to the judge's head and they start putting their sons and grandsons in charge. And the sons and grandsons are not the ones that the Lord anointed to deliver Israel in the time of trouble. And so this is a bit of an evolution, I believe, in the history of the judges, where we're seeing some negative things start to take place in how the Israelites are ruled and judged by their leaders, and the people seemingly are going to reject this at some point. But we have a short passage for today. That's the end of our passage. We will jump into chapter 13, and this is where it's going to start to get very interesting from here on out in the book of Judges. Really interesting stories. You know where we're going with this. We're going to get to Samson, who's probably the most famous of all the judges in the book, and his stories are quite crazy as we get to them. So I'm looking forward to continuing on in the book of Judges with you. Thank you so much for joining me on the 10-week Bible study today. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.